can't be afraid to suck and get dirty. And getting dirty is maybe a feeling in your mind that you are going to be at this beginner's mindset again, and you're not going to do very well, and you're going to have to learn things. And the recipe to that is action. It's a lot of action. It's learning. Like if you're in sales, which is a part of a lot of your businesses, the best way to learn sales is not to read a bunch of books on sales. It's to have some framework and then go try and learn, deal with how you keep going, and that persistence that goes on. And when you're feeling overwhelmed and you've had a bad day after a bad day and it turned into a bad week, you have to just obsess with the upside and realize that you're not good enough yet, and you will be, and you can't let that bog you down.
Hold your station, this education is relevant. The motivation through conversation is evident. We're talking spiritual body mind development. This is the manhood experiment.
Welcome back to another episode of the Manhood Experiment. I am Big Dreams. I'm here with the Leo Trio. And man, I'm so excited to get into this episode. We're talking about business. Where is my business? Get into my business, how to start this business, and how to get over the fears of starting this business. That's where we're really going to dial in on. Because I know you all have dreams, you all have ideas, no pun intended. And we all have these motivations to do something great, to be the boss. So if you're trying to be the boss, you got to pay the cost. And at times, we got to get over these fears and limiting beliefs to help us cross over that dotted line and start this race. But before we do that, you know I got to kick it to my boys and check in with them. Leo Trio, Jay Sonny, T-Rex, how y'all feeling?
What's up, man?
Feeling good, feeling great, feeling baby. Good, yeah. A lot of action. It's become a fun season coming in here, working on getting the house ready to list the house in this crazy market. So a lot of anticipation, uncertainty, swapping out some things around the place.
Yeah.
But feeling like playing in offensive mode right now. So it's a good feeling.
I see you getting aggressive over here. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'm stoked about that.
Well, that's a J.
That's right, man.
Dragon growl, baby.
It's a dragon. It's not a lizard, baby. But we're out here. We're out here slaying dragons. I think this gets me really excited because I'm in the midst of it. So I think talking about the psychological stuff of what you're going through, I like what you're saying about pay the cost to be the boss. Is it proof of concept, testing all these ideas out to like what gets in the way? So it's like now you've decided you want to enter the arena. Well, what awaits you? You know, that's what we're going to talk about today.
That anticipation before the gladiator actually walks in the arena.
Yeah.
You know, swinging that sword, baby. We got to get in there.
But I do want to touch another thing is I'm just excited to be here. You know, prior to this morning, big picture, feeling good where everything's going, but woke up just feeling a little funky. And I was like, gosh, you know, I don't know. I got a lot of stuff to do today. But then I plugged in, saw your guys' faces, and I was like, just the energy, just it's blasting. I'm feeling good. So I just wanted to share that.
Appreciate that, Jay.
Yeah.
Man, I love linking up with you guys, man, for real. My boys.
As Dream said, it's always therapy. Yep. I want to comment on something. Jay always say, man, you got to talk a little bit more than the weather. But the weather, dude, I've been out these days for this past week running.
Okay.
Morning times, sometimes evening times. And since I got the virus, since I last spoke, been recovering from that. I've been using Jay's guide on, he has a book that's in the link if you go to Manhood Experiment. It's a healthy habits. It's also the one where you're snacking, where you do these small movements, these small 5 minute, 10 minutes of working out. And, you know, I think during the day when you're just working on business, sitting in front of a computer all the time, it's really good for your energy and mindset. So I've been doing that this past week and been feeling good.
Oh, and that's solid. That's really good. Find those opportunities to move, eh?
Yeah. OTM, you see how I integrated the weather with a little bit about what I'm doing? So I'm just kidding.
That was smooth. It was smooth. It was a smooth transition. Speaking of smooth transitions, you're talking about sitting in front of the screen working on business.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we all have these ideas. We all have these dreams of being the boss, of owning our own business, of these entrepreneur endeavors that we want to take a leap of faith and step out on. But sometimes we just have these, what Jay Sonny would call limiting beliefs, that keep us and prevent us from taking that next step. we feel overwhelmed with some of the processes. The first one I like to call out is the legal side of starting a business, the legalities, if you will. Sometimes people get into the process, I don't know if I need to start a sole proprietorship. I don't know if I need to start an LLC. Or I don't know if I just need to go and incorporate my business. And sometimes it's simpler than what you think. For one, let me tell you the difference of these businesses here, right? A sole prop, you think of that as a mom and pop business, something you can do at home. If you got a knitting business, if you're selling cookies, these are businesses that don't take too many pieces to work. So the simpler the business, think of a sole prop. I can do this myself. It's an individually owned business, something that you don't necessarily need to have a separate EIN, which is an employee identification number, which you typically have if you have a business that requires you to have employees. This business you can do by yourself, sole, as in sole individual, and you can use your own EIN, which is your social security number. So you had what you needed all along since you got here. So that's one thing I want to just address.
And for overseas listeners, the social security numbers is more US specific. I think you have to look in your country. If you live in the UK, I think it's a VAT registration number or whatever it is, but it depends on your country.
Hold on, see, we international, baby.
Well, yeah, we're international. We have to speak to that international audience. We have people from India, people from UK, people from Germany, people from Iran, if you wouldn't believe. I don't know how they find us, but they do. I'm not kidding.
Shut the front door.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Shout out to the international people out there tuning in to the Manhood Experiment today. I didn't want to get off topic, but that's cool.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Let's get back to it. So you got these dreams. Pun intended. And you got the sole prop. We just went over that. What do you need to have a sole proprietorship? Say you got a haircutting business that you're just traveling to different places. You don't necessarily have a shop just yet, but you want to make this a legit business. You would need a business license. So you can get your barber's license and then you can go to the bank and you can set up an account for your sole prop if you wanted to do it that way. So that's one way to also handle the legal piece of a sole proprietorship. Another thing is, if you want to keep it simple, say you don't want to use your own name. For example, you don't want to say Devon Wesley's Barbershop, right? You want to say, I want to come up with something cool called The Cuts. I just want to call it The Cuts. So what you can do is you can set up a fictitious business name and you can set up this business and call it The Cuts. So instead of using your personal name, you'll use your business name, The Cuts, but you're still using your social security number for the tax portion of this business. So as you collect money, Uncle Sam wants some of that money, right? So that's how you're going to handle that piece. Mm. Hopefully I gave you enough ideas about the sole proprietorship, or sole prop is what some people call it. So you can kind of say, you know what? I think I fall in that category of business. Say your business is slightly more complex, right? I'm just going to get through all three. Then I want you guys to just jump in. We got the LLC, which is a limited liability company. We also have LLPs, limited liability partnerships, but those are a little bit more complex. And usually you got one or two people, 50-50. But limited liability company is if you just want a little bit more protection for your business and a little more safeguard. With this business, you don't use your social security number. You need an EIN. Well, Devon, big dreams. Where I get an EIN from? Well, I got an answer for that. You can go to irs.gov and they will literally walk you through this process step by step. They'll say, what's your entity? What's the name of your entity? Okay. What will your entity be doing? Yada, yada, yada. And they'll literally have you answer questions and click the multiple choice answer until you get to the end and say, boom, you now have an EIN. And you can have that electronically in your hand immediately. Or they could send it and email it to you. And I think it costs maybe less than $15 to get one. Easier than what you thought. So many people get halted and getting flustered over that piece there. I just wanted to break that down. So say if your business, you stepped out, you had an LLC, a limited liability company, which gives you limited liability for other people's mistakes, or somebody flips out and falls out and trips in your store. This is when you have a little bit more of a structured business. Or say you have an online business and your product did something crazy, somebody broke out. You don't want people going after your personal assets. So that's why you have a separate EIN, employer identification number, that's separate from your individual social security number. So if someone sues you, you have a little bit less liability. That's the name of the game, as simple as that. And then finally, we have our corporations, which means you have successfully held your business to a point to where you not only have yourself invested in this business, but say you want to have other individuals invested in this business. That's one reason you might go for a corporation, right? These businesses are typically a little bit more complex and they have a few different nuances to it. But just to get over the hump, like I said, I gave you two that you don't need to have such a complex and big fear to get through, because that's what this episode is about. It's not about scaring you and telling you how complex a corporation is and how you can't do it. But it's about giving you two, at least two ideas and two directions that you can. You can definitely easily set up a limited liability company or set up a sole prop to get your feet wet and get you started.
Yeah.
With a corporation, you need different articles. But if you want to set up a corporation, they have companies to do it, such as LegalZoom, Busy, or you can even call your local county clerk and they can walk you through it, which is a little bit more tedious. But there are companies that would do this portion for you if you don't want to get into the weeds. I say my piece. Fellas, what you got?
I say, just a disclaimer too, if you're ready for a corporation, like, I think you've broken down the major walls if you're ready at that point. So I would not even overthink what a corporation is. I think if you're partnering up with somebody else, they're probably well vetted with business and they'll lead you the way of what you need. And you can get your legal stuff right with how you're involved with a corporation or S Corp or whatnot. But what I want to take from that, listeners, is if that is a fear that's holding you out, is like, oh, I got to get all this legal stuff straight before I start a business. I've seen so many people do that and then they don't even get that proof of concept in the first place. And they realize, like, maybe I'm not cut out for this. And so my point of saying that is I always lean and suggest people lean with the sole proprietorship, get the proof of concept. You know, you can still collect money and make sure that you have something actually tangible working to be able to create some momentum as you go. So I think moral of the story is what I'm saying there is don't let that get in your way. I think outline that you're ready to actually do business and get in the arena.
Yes, sir.
I think prior before that becomes another big limiting factor.
No, big facts. I'm glad you added that piece there too. T, what you got before we go on to the next piece of this topic?
I would say, you know, I use BZ, that's BIZEE that you mentioned, and it's so easy to do it. It's less than $200. I don't know the price now, but it's so easy and they set up everything for you for the LLC. I would say early on, as early as possible, and this is coming from experience, my mistakes, separate your personal account, bank account from your business bank account. Those are two separate. Create a separate business bank account as soon as possible. Even if you're a sole proprietor, try to open that business bank account, because come tax time, come times for write-offs and savings and stuff, it'll be much easier. It's much easier to track as well too, how much you're spending in your business, how much profit you're making in business when it's not intermingled with your personal expenses. So that's my input there. Yeah.
Very true.
I like it.
Yeah. Not to put you guys in fear. We talked about the IRS being a piece of this, as in anything that makes money. So you want to make sure you're not getting in the weeds with them as well, to just make sure that you're able to properly itemize things and create some separation between what you're spending on this trip with this for cost gas and then the trips you're taking personally for gas. Because you want to make sure that you're clear on those, just starting off doing things the right way. Just make it easy.
I also want to tune in to make sure people really are like on the same frequency here of why you want to start a business. It's not just something that you need to do. The benefits of it. I remember I really got schooled on business. Remember, I lived with a buddy of mine who was an entrepreneur back before entrepreneurship was cool. This is back in like the early 2000s. And then I had clients when I was a personal trainer. I was training people, you know, and I was set up just as a sole proprietorship, or I was working for people. And I remember I had clients of mine that had, you know, they were business owners, and they would tell me that when they took a trip, they were able to expense it or a portion of it if it had to do with business or their vehicle, or they were making so much money, so much revenue was coming in that they needed tax deductions in order to be able to
keep a profit.
Yeah, in order to be able to profit. And so that's where buying something for business, like a vehicle or a trip, you know, and this really hit me. So just think about this right here. Like some of the upside of this is a client of mine, I remember he said he made an investment in a startup company that needed some help. And he told me that he lost $200,000. And I was like, damn, you lost $200,000. Mm. And he's like, yeah, Jay, it's all right though. He's like, our business did so well that we need write-offs. And so at the end of the day, that really doesn't put me in a bad spot. And it's like part of the admission for being able to play the game. And he wasn't stressed about it. And I just remember thinking like, wow, that's so cool that you get to a point where you can take these risks and they don't put you out of the game. You can just kind of start back over and it's part of the process.
Definitely some future motivation. Yeah.
And so I think that when you're thinking about the business, yeah, it's more than just being able to, again, get into the arena. It's like, well, why do you want to do this? Because you can keep more money in your pocket. Obviously, we'll talk about some of that more here a little bit later.
That's perfect segue, Jay, because the next thing I want to talk about is the money portion. A lot of people have this belief of maybe I don't have enough money to invest in my business, or it's going to cost too much to get my business started. So I'm going to jump in here and I'm going to throw out the T about taking financial risk, because it takes money to make money, right?
Yeah.
What you got, T?
And sometimes that's not the case too, because I could offer tomorrow, I could offer some service that I don't have to have money. I could, you know, cold call, approach people, you know, figure it out, tap into my network, you know, get referrals. So it's only you need money to make money, but there's other options. But the financial risk I'm talking about is very specific, a very specific mindset. It's money to spend. So I'll use a specific example. There was a friend of mine. He wanted to advertise. He wanted to reach people in his local area for his business. I won't say what the business is because that would be a dead giveaway who he is. But, you know, he had a mindset of, I don't want to spend this because I don't know if I'll get it back. And it's a mentality that holds all of us back. And I always think about business. It's not about spending. The mindset you have to think about is investing.
Yes.
I'm investing $100, $200, $1,000 a month to test something, to see if it works. And that is the only possibility, or not the only possibility, but it is one of the main channels you have to go down, especially for paid advertising, which is a huge component of business, to get some sort of return, to figure out if you'll get return. And I will tell you, like, I've worked with clients before, and it was always a mindset of, I don't want to spend when it should have been the taking the risk to invest into something to figure out if it's working or not. So that's a big thing. And the way to overcome this, obviously, I would say when you get into something, any business, you have to sit down and do the research. You have to figure out if this is a passion of yours. You have to figure out what's the working mechanics within the business. You have to understand all the risk involved and the know-hows and stuff. You know, it takes time before you get into something. And if you already have existing business and you're afraid to spend money, you have to seek advice from somebody who have expertise. And I don't mean Googling someone or people approaching you and say, hey, I could make you, I could do your SEO or whatever. It's actually finance, doing the research as well to find an expertise who could help you. But anyways, that's my point with that.
I think that's a great point. Finding a local expert in your own network, finding someone who can help guide you and let you know a little bit about the market, who may have been in that market, who's been in the shoes that you're trying to get into. Maybe finding a mentor in that sense to help you understand, where should I be spending money? Doing research online, you know, we said that you don't necessarily want to go on the internet, but YouTube University, the internet is filled with people who've gone through experience. I know I do this even as a producer. When I have people come into the studio, I want to know, is it worth my money spending on this plugin? Do I need this plugin? And sometimes you're like, yeah, I need reverb. People want to feel like they have that effect, that natural feel or the echo on their voice. I need that. That's something that people want to have in the studio, in their vibe. So just simple things like that. You can go on YouTube and before you purchase it, you can find out. People have already done little test trials of this program or this ingredient, how it worked for them before you make your final decision and say, well, eventually you do have to buy it yourself. Eventually you got to test it yourself, you know, because you can only go on somebody's word of mouth for so long. But if you just want to find a way to get a little test before you jump in there, that's a great resource. I use it all the time. And then your local network. another piece of spending money, like you said, you got to think of it as an investment. Team mentioned, think of it as an investment into yourself, into your future self, into your future business, where you want to be. Some people are hesitant to say, well, how much should I invest before I know that it's strong enough of an investment to make a return on that? You know, that's a good question. And that depends on the business. Only you will really know that, but you got to jump in the game and you got to test it. Like T said, you can't be afraid to put some money out there, to spend some money, to invest in yourself. Mm-hmm. Even getting your business started. We talked about LegalZoom, Busy, County Clerk. Even those are considered investments because it's going to take a little bit of money to get that. Even a fictitious business license is going to take some money for you to get that. So last conversation that we want to have is it's going right into that. Like you said, using your network, putting yourself out there. And we got an expert here, Jay Sani, on the mental component of putting yourself out there. You had a special phrase for this. I like it. I'm going to let you introduce this concept of how do you deal with the criticism and the fear of putting yourself out there as this new business owner, tapping into your network. Yeah. What is that like, Jay?
Yeah. So, and when we think criticism, a lot of it is the self-criticism that I think the fears and the doubts that we have, and we're comparing ourselves to others. There's the popular term imposter syndrome that you think, you know, what gives me the right to go out and start my business? So tying it into what we just said, how you can build more confidence is getting a mentor, in some cases hiring a mentor. And for those of you who don't know, some cases you can expense a business coach. So let's say a business coach costs you $10,000 and you'd be like, oh my goodness, $10,000. Well, if that person can cut and shrink the gap of how long it takes you to be able to know the skill sets and the tactics to be able to make more money, it pays for itself right away. Plus you can expense that. And now you're getting a lesson from somebody that's been there before. And I think that it's the same thing. If you're trying to improve your body, mind, or business, look at somebody that's already been there before rather than taking the long route of trying to figure out everything else on your own. So tying that into it, the psychological side of thing is really big. And I just want to say some things I've struggled with in the past, and I certainly have seen other people. For some people, the reason they want to start a business is because they lost their job or they're not happy with where they're at. When you leave your job, now you've cut yourself off from the supply of money that's providing security for your living, for water, food, family, whatever it is. And that can be really scary. So where I'm going with this is you have to get yourself into the right state to be ready for business. And having your back against the wall certainly can help you in some cases, but also can be really constrictive if you find yourself in this mode of scarcity. And so when we think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, the base need, this is your need to survive. It's the physiological need. This is that foundation, if you imagine a pyramid. And that is water, food, shelter, and just the survival necessities. And so that's where we're thinking, hey, if you have a fear of how you're going to pay your bills next month, is that going to help you be more creative? Or is there going to be so much stress that you are going to come off desperate to everything that you're doing, which is going to be kind of like kryptonite to being successful in some cases?
Okay.
So moral of the story here is, you, like we said, have to take inventory of where your state of mind is and making sure that you're in that right state. So fear of criticism, it maybe is stopping you because you're going to go start a business. And people are like, what are you doing to start a business? What do you know about that? Like, what makes you an expert to do that? You have to put your blinders on and realize that the people around you, the only people that are criticizing you are probably not happy with their life. If you notice people that are really successful, they don't criticize other people. It's the people that they're either jealous or they've tried things and failed. And it's like crabs in a bucket. They want to pull you back down. And so, T, were you going to hop in and say something?
No, I was just going to make a joke. Unless you're Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Oh, trolling everyone.
Unless you're that big swinging power, massive ego. So here's what we do. Here's the tactics to this. You can't be afraid to suck and get dirty. And I remember my aunt a long time ago gave me some advice. She's like, something about you can't be afraid to get dirty. And getting dirty is maybe a feeling in your mind that you are going to be at this beginner's mindset again, and you're not going to do very well, and you're going to have to learn things. And the recipe to that is action. It's a lot of action. It's learning. Like if you're in sales, which is a part of a lot of your businesses, the best way to learn sales is not to read a bunch of books on sales. It's to have some framework and then go try and learn, deal with how you keep going, and that persistence that goes on. And so when you sell, when you try to sell products, get feedback, when you're trying to do something in your business, you'll get feedback, and you need to focus on the upside of all of these things to keep propelling you forward. And when you're feeling overwhelmed and you've had a bad day after a bad day and it turned into a bad week, you have to just obsess with the upside and realize that you're not good enough yet, and you will be, and you can't let that bog you down, because the state of mind is so important. So I know you can feel the passion in that.
It's a human experience.
Yeah. And I wanted to say, I didn't say it's the very beginning, but the idea of starting a business is sexy, but it's not, when you peel back the curtain, it's not for everyone. The lack of security can be really stressful. Being open for business 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you don't have that turnoff type of point. And so I wanted to say that be sure that you're about that life, but don't let that stop you. You're going to learn as you continue to go, and the steps keep showing up as you put your foot forward.
I want to add one more piece here.
Yeah.
And that is, a lot of the fears that people have is, I don't know how. And that comes from just lack of knowledge. And I've often overcome this, my personal fear of, I don't know how, by reading, researching. And yes, it's messy at first because you don't know what really you're learning and you have to figure it out yourself. But then also the extension to that is, you have masterminds and courses and stuff. But I don't know how always starts with figuring out a plan for learning and a plan for executing. And I've already told you about the learning part, the executing part. One of the basic or most necessary things in a business when you put into your plan is figuring out what people are searching for. Whether it's, you know, in your neighborhood, whether it's a local mom and shop place you're wanting to build, whether it's a, especially online, a Google search, there's so many tools out there that can give you this information. What are people searching for? Because the reason you want to find this is, you want to figure out, is there a need, enough of a need, that if I start my business, there's customers. Now, let's say you come up with this idea of, I want to sell winter clothes in summertime. And I'm just making up this dumb idea. But the thing is, you'll find that it's not a lot of people looking for winter clothes in summertime. And that will make your business harder from the get-go. Now, if you go in Encinitas in San Diego and you open a summer shop and it's always sunny there, there's a greater chance that people are looking for summer wear or beach wear when you're right next to the beach. So yeah, that's something to think about. It's just like, plan, and in that plan, figure out what people are searching for, what they're looking for. And I feel that's one of the fundamentals that will overcome the fear of, I don't know how, and I don't know, you know, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
Jay, you want to wrap this up?
Yeah. No, I like that. So I think it's the proof of concept idea, making sure that there's supply and demand. There's something, because there's a lot of times where, hey, I got this good idea, but there's not necessarily enough of the demand for the supply that you're trying to create here. So we got a lot of resources online. I think looking at business coaches can be a good investment.
Yes, sir.
I love this topic. I think, I mean, I'm pumped that Dreams kicked it off right with how to take care of all the legal actions and step-by-step of setting you up to the fears. I think as anything in life, fears are going to try to hold you back to play on that small stage, whether it's your ego or whatever it is. And we have to realize that all the beautiful stuff is on the other side of that. You know, no risk it, no biscuit. We talk about it all the time. So here is your experiment for the day, for the week, for the episode, is doing. The power of doing and taking action. So without, to remove the overthinking and the fear that gets in the way, start out, go the sole prop option, and make sure that you have something that is there. So go out, try to sell whatever it is, your services. Take that action, learn from that, and realize that you'll continue to build some momentum as you go. So I hope this was helpful. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Until the next time, this is the Manhood Experiment.
Boom.
Hey, what's up? This is Big Dreams. Thank you for checking out today's episode of the Manhood Experiment. If you like today's episode, please subscribe and give us 5 stars. Not only does your feedback matter, but it helps us to connect with others just like you that find value in our weekly episodes. So subscribe, share, and speak with your friends and family about today's episode. And most importantly, take care of yourself, keep growing, and join us again on the next episode of The Manhood Experiment.